Welcome to the podcast with Face, Pat, and Tiz.
So with three friends separated by distance, connected by brotherhood, having weekly conversations on Zoom, I am one third of the partners, your boy Tiz, a.k.a. Gray Hoodie Tiz, with my two brothers in crime.
Yo, it's Pat. Yo. I'm not going to fuck the intro up this time. I'm here in Southeast Virginia. All right, I fucked it up anyway. With my other partners and my homeboy Face down at Blackstone.
You know that's me right here, man. Pair creative Face. Laughing at Padawan as usual, man. I can't say
that now. I was about to fucking choke on my smoke.
Oh, man. So yet another week. Look like we got a blooper for y'all coming. So YouTube and Patreon people. Hopefully y'all get ready for that. All your problems. People are going to be confused yet another week.
I got issues.
It's all good, bro. We're going to get straight into it this week. This just came across my timeline a few minutes ago, so I watched this video. Floyd Mayweather is fighting Logan Paul in an exhibition match in September. The great Logan Paul 2-0 knocking out Nate Robinson, Logan Paul. I don't even know where to go with this. Thoughts? Opinions?
What for? What has he done to earn the right to fight Floyd? What has he done the right to earn that amount of money? He's about to get paid millions of dollars to get beat up by Floyd Mayweather. Regardless if he's bigger than Floyd or not, he's about to get beat up by the undefeated Floyd and get paid millions of dollars. Millions and millions of dollars. So YouTube can get hype. Pay-per-view can get hype. All of them for what? For an exhibition fight. But after Floyd last fight, he won't do it nothing. Until Mike Tyson came back with his exhibition fight. So what is it?
Mike can open the floodgates.
You feel
me? Yo, I think this is minor black reparations. I feel like the white boy, he been hitting, getting a lot of social media, like, or some shit. And dude's been going up there, blah, blah, blah. But my black ass, I'll whoop your ass. I'll knock your punk ass out. Well, you can't do that shit with me or whatever. And as a representative of the black community, not always the best representative of the black community, Floyd stepped in and said, let me get this easy money right quick.
Not I mean easy money. Because I see this being a reverse Nate ease.
And all the black people going, well, and probably a lot of us going to like, but we're going to get a lot of black dollars out of it, and yeah, so either way, yeah, black people would like to see, I hate to say it because it sounds controversial, but 400 years, black people probably want to see some white guy get knocked the fuck out by a black dude after all the, matter of fact, after 2020 in general, all this shit been going on from George Floyd to take it, not to take it all the way there, but shit, we need some kind of so minor reparations, that's what I think. We still need, inflation of 40 acres in a mule, which I feel like is half the country. But let me shut up.
I would know you talking. Why do I have a weird feeling that Logan Paul may knock this dude out for some reason on some fluke stuff?
Because Trump
it ain't even going to be no like, one time. Knock out.
My nobody logic, all, out. Everything in my logic says Floyd, second round knockout, easy money. Never gets punched, never gets touched the entire fight. But for some reason,
it's going to be a lot of
games. I feel like this white boy got a puncher's chance on some like weird fluke, like backwards overhand left or something that like connects out of nowhere or something.
I feel like it might be. Oh, I let face.
If he do get knocked out, if Floyd do get knocked out, it ain't nothing but karma for him talking all that cash shit.
True.
When Mike Tyson tried to start, and he started coming out talking all that cash shit.
True.
Hold on, he was talking shit about Mike.
He was talking shit about all the greats. Like he was the greatest, and having multiple belts in the divisions was messing up the art of boxing and all this other stuff, all this other jazz. And he was comparing himself to Ali and how he was better than Ali, better than Mike Tyson. He's the greatest of all. He is the greatest of all times. I don't know about the greatest of all time. Now, I may not be able to beat you personally, but that's what that fight for. When you talk about these other boxers, you can't beat Tyson. If he was in your weight class, the ferocity of that man at your size, you won't touch him, Floyd. I'm sorry. Ali in your weight class, you won't touch him, Ali in your weight class.
I'll tell you who won't none of them touch him. in his prime, won't none of them touching Roy. Mm. Roy, the closest thing to the best fighter of all time I've seen since Sugar Ray Robinson. Like, Roy was scary. Roy was and he beat the hell out of other champions.
He had, I think he had belts in four different weight classes.
Started at middleweight, went all the way to heavyweight, champion in all of them. Technically, I consider him undefeated because that disqualification should have never happened. That was just hard.
I think it's gonna be a lot of dancing. If the the white boy name?
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul. Favorite superhero? He got my favorite superhero name as his first name. He got to win. That's Wolverine. But anyway,
Wolverine.
Logan. Logan.
But he got a shot.
But it's gonna be some dancing. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be some Jabberwocky dancing. I mean, the music video of Bop at the end dancing. I mean, Cousin Skeeter dancing. Like, yeah, just dance. It's going to be some dancing. That'd be funny.
I think my final take on this. The white boy got a chance, but I'm predicting a second round knockout. And I'm hoping that Nate Robinson accompanies Floyd to the ring so he can be... to witness the night. He needs some redemption. God bless him.
That would be dope.
Two short little dudes coming up to the ring together.
I just want to be there to sweep the money that Floyd going to throw out on the way up to the ring. I'm trying to sweep all that money and run. I don't even want to see the fight. I just want to go just sweep behind Floyd when he walk up and just grab the money and go. That's it.
I want to be on the undercard against Nate Robinson.
Shit.
If he fight like that, I can knock him out. You come on in here with that bull rushing if you want to. You can catch two uppercuts and a sweep and a two-piece, and it'll be night-night.
I don't got time for
night-night.
You can put me on the undercard for a random dude in a Big Bird costume. I'll win the fuck out that fight.
Why are you fighting mascots?
Because it's like, fun.
What is happening right now? Are you raiding kids' birthday parties, running up on dudes?
Have you not seen a baseball game? Have you not seen the times when people just run up to the freaking mascot and start fighting? But,
I wish I would be a mascot. I was going to say,
I wish I would be a mascot. Somebody else,
but you with that 100-pound head real quick. Get your ass back. You will run up on me. I'm in this hot-ass costume already mad and it stink. And you will run up on me.
Kids crying because I done took the hat off and beating the dude with the hat. He took his own head off. Oh, my God. Where's the blood? Let me shut up.
All right. So on another note, man, something that's really close and personal to my heart. The House has personally just decriminalized cannabis. They just passed the bill. Now I just have to get past the Senate.
Amen.
I'm not that positive and optimistic about it getting past Senate because they're Senate's led by the Republicans. They're Republican-led, the House is more Democratic-led. Once again, I have no party affiliation either way, but just going by what I know about the politics and when it comes to cannabis, I don't think it's going to make it past Senate. But if they look at it in a more financial way and look at it as a cash crop and a way to make money easily the way they used to before 1937, they would definitely pass it. Because if they do their simple research like anybody could before 1937, marijuana and cannabis and hemp was a major cash crop. We weren't using trees for the stuff we used for now. We were using hemp for that. So at the end of the day, it's a positive thing for the community and the whole. It'll definitely help with tax revenue. It'll definitely get more jobs. It'll definitely lower the crime rate. I can definitely say that. Definitely, if you legalize it, it'll be open and available to more people who need it, who can't afford to go get it through the legal way now. You feel me? Who are forced to do illegal things to go that route. You feel me? If you force up, open it up, go ahead and fully legalize it, pass this bill, we'll see the positive attributes that can definitely come from marijuana fulfilled. You feel me? It won't be just looked at as a drug because at the end of the day, it's not a drug. Nothing's done to it. It's grown, picked. Here you go. Drugs are chemically induced by man, as far as what I know. You know, like that's what I've been told. A drug is chemically induced. Something has to be done to another substance to make a drug. So, what y'all think about this happening?
So I got four, I guess, trains of thought here as you were going there. I think it's a great leap in justice. I'm really glad to see like the people who are locked up currently able to actually come, especially, you know, people who are locked up for only marijuana related crimes, especially those that are non-violent. Marijuana is one of the lowest violence rates when it comes to the average person who's getting arrested for it. So I feel like that would be a good thing. I also think that the funds they generate from legalizing it and allowing more medical, this type of thing to be, the funds could really build up a lot of like those in need communities and deprived communities. That's like their biggest issue is just they don't have the average household income to really be to build it up the way they need. We could use them funds to like kind of go in and put in programs and build up houses and give people that don't have. I think that the people who get released from prison and jail may need, they're going to have some type of like path to reentry to society, because I'm thinking of like the trauma from being institutionalized. And you got people that might have been down 10, 15 years from that, that are now being released. They went in innocent, or at least, you know what I'm saying, going in for a crime that probably shouldn't have been as trumped up as it was. I can only imagine like what that's done to their psyche, and just making sure that that's going to be a massive release of people coming home from jail and prison too. So just preparing those communities for like programs to get these people jobs so that they're not finding themselves caught up in a different type of crime because of, you know what I'm saying, they don't have any resources, that type of thing. But there definitely gonna have to be some type of plan for those people that get released. I definitely think all medical cannabis should be legal completely, period. I think recreational should be decriminalized, but how that looks in each state, I'm still cool with that part. Like, if you have a medical card, cool, go to the dispensary, get your medicine. But I'm cool with letting recreational kind of be up to the community level or the local level, you know what I'm saying? Because you might have a community where that entire community is Quakers. I'm cool with you deciding that, hey, it's decriminalized, but we're going to still have some policies around. That's just not what we're going to do here. And somewhere like where I live, where it's a lot more metropolitan and you got a whole lot more mixtures of people, cool, you know what I'm saying, the culture here will probably be more accepting of it. So I think it should be based on where it's accepted, but I'm really just glad to see it stop being looked at as this horrible thing, like it's a boogeyman or something, when compared to every other thing that's scheduled in the same way it is by the government. These other things are causing like deaths. And the worst I can see, you know what I'm saying? Like, don't get me wrong, marijuana has effects. I'm not going to sit here, but I also know that those effects, a lot of them are not as trumped up as politics has kind of made them to be. And I know that it has a lot more medical effects. And it's a lot of people that are suffering unnecessarily that helped and be able to live a high quality of life with just those policies being placed. So I'm excited for it. But before they do anything with this, I want them to go ahead and get a comprehensive COVID plan and release some stimulus checks. Get that settled first, because to me, that's more pressing than the marijuana thing. Like, the people I know that smoke or in the marijuana, they getting their stuff. The people that don't want to smoke, they not. Right now, everybody's susceptible to this COVID shit. So I just want them to go ahead, figure that out and get that settled and get to work on getting these students.
I'm high right now, so you know I'm bored. And I had to put the shit down for so I could be hurt and whatnot. But it's funny you bring that medical side of it up, because if you really think about it, the medicines they have now, they have more crucial effects than marijuana in some cases. Man, I got allergies. I took Benadryl. That thing will have me out for a whole day. I can take it in the morning. I will not wake up till 9 o'clock. Like marijuana is, shoot, it helps out with my anxiety. I calm the fuck down. You know what I'm saying? I could think a little bit clearer as long as I know my own rate. I know where I need to calm the fuck down, put the blunt down at. You know what I'm saying? They got, for anxiety in the medical field, Xanax. And if you ever take a Xanax, you can't even take a whole
yourself at all. Turn you into a zombie, man.
A total zombie. The things they have, they classify for like ADHD, you know, Adderall. You know that shit, that I mean, in some cases it's good because it can make a person focus, but it's just, it's damn near the equivalent of any other opioid or whatever. Like, and then on the simple fact, if they do decriminalize all of this, in general, y'all got to excuse me because that is a very high syllable word and I am high right now, so I might stumble over a couple of things. As far as decriminalizing it, yeah, they should release. And then my concern is just like yours is, I feel like if anything, the companies that's profiting off of it now should help with the system of bringing them in, being that if it worked for them then, and the only other problem was y'all arrested me and put me away with killers and everything, then it should be a way to bring them in. Colorado made so much money off the year that they made so much money off the taxes that they had to return some of it back to the actual citizens in general.
Yep.
So that whole system right there, that right there off the taxes they made off of it, if they have a low income area, they have a money in a year to help build that area in general. So yeah, on that note, I'm gonna smoke the rest of this. I got another one over here, but that's
for Lord. But that's my biggest point, like with that. Like, I hope that they use the money for those communities that need it, instead of these wealthy corporations coming in and Amazoning and Walmarting the cannabis industry, where the top 1% still is getting all of the benefits from it, and people who are most needing these extra funds, they still suffer. That's my only concern, because when you get politicians involved in stuff, they like to look out for themselves and their cronies instead of the public. So I'm excited about it. I'm really happy. happening. I hope that the Senate does what is right, and you know what I'm saying, co-signs this bill as well. I'm just hoping that once it does get passed, they do the right with the way they went in, because that's a lot, that's billions of dollars just coming in, and I hope that they use it for the people that's this country hurting, man.
Yeah,
need some relief.
Oh yeah,
that
influx
that,
a large amount of money.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And that industry, they got to.
But
that industry itself, that should be for the people. Because for real, I don't want great value weed. Like, I don't want great value cannabis. That is going to
be
trash.
I like the mom
and pop idea. Cannabis. Like, I know that it is going to be produced greatly. All right, next random topic. Okay. Have y'all seen Kevin Gates and his jerry curl? Yo, this nigga...
Oh, what?
Kevin Gates got a jerry curl, dog. Like, man, just he has a jerry curl. He put that junk. I think he put it out on his social media, dog. Ooh. He looked like a fat Rick James in the face. Yo, just look it up when just look at it when you have time. Look at the Padawan is my Instagram. Y'all can find it there.
Yo,
I'm gonna probably put it in the group chat.
That sounds worse than the what is it? The what they calling them? The Draves.
Yeah. Oh,
y'all
yeah,
seen them? The dude got waves
in the Draves
all the way around, and then the Draves like in the very middle. I was like, what? How did you put your durag on for that?
You know what he did, right? What happened, right? When with dreads,
he got in the fight, somebody pulled his dreads out.
Either that, or sometimes
like, where's your hairline?
With dreads, some people can't grow this side. Like some people can't like it. With some people, hair grows differently. So like you may have like I remember when I had my cornrows or whatever. My shit was hanging from the top. Like my shit was all the way. My hang time was on the top. Or whatever. So I had to plait my shit up or whatever. Some people, this shit does not dread the fuck up. Or they had dreads.
That shit on purpose.
They had dreads and it grew back because it was stretching back and it put all this new growth in the front and he ain't know what to do.
How the hell it grow back? Like, all right, so I got locks now. And my lock is right here.
Be
when I go get my hair cut with the new growth, guess what? The new growth is where the hair that was never locked up in the first place is. That lock is still in the same place. You mean to tell me somebody's scalp is running backwards?
Yeah, look, it happened to me. Look, it happened to me. It happened to me. Yo, you see this dread right here? This was made like, this started off like really small, probably like right here, probably about 3 years ago. This is about 3 years of dread. Like you get a fro, like it's like a fro right here, and all my dreads in the front is small. But if this one right here, oh well, no, I
can't. Where is this fro coming from? Because what I'm saying is, ain't nothing growing right here. Like I'm getting that edged up.
Yo, dude, like this one right here.
It's somebody pulled his dreads out.
This one right here, right? I got ones that's like on the top of my head that was right up front. And it's just the way it grows. It's like they grow back or something or whatever. I know if any of you
ain't shifting. Your scalp like, ain't shifting.
I must get retwisted too shift. Much.
I'm telling you, forget. This was all a fro right at first. Nigga, don't like forget, 5 years ago.
I had dreads for like 9 years. So don't that's forget, true. I had long hair too. My scalp don't shift.
That's what I'm saying. This is baby hair. That's baby hair up here. That's not even the hair that's locked.
It happened to me, man. I'm trying to tell y'all, man. I was getting my hair braided, and it was pulling my hair back. And when it pulled my hair back, it grew a whole bunch of growth right here. Now, his shit was extreme. I don't know what's up with his shit. It looked like he just braided right here or whatever, and this, that, and the third. But, like that's how it was. Not to be all up in my face and shit trying to describe.
I've never heard of this in my life. I literally thought that dude like cut his hair, like he had dreads here and he cut it around to make a mohawk, and then he grew that out to make waves. I did not think that his hair is moved. What? I have never heard of this phenomenon. No. I'm gonna look that up after the pod today. Like
it happened to me. Please, it happened to me.
Because you're the only other person in the world I've ever known that happened to.
Yeah!
It happened,
hey, man.
Oh, boy,
got I got people in Atlanta that will test for it.
YouTube viewers, y'all look out for a Tiz Takes blog coming out this week about this. I will be researching this and talking about it. This Drake. Is crazy. Drake. The
hell
is
trying to tell you, yo, you can
and
ask
these dude,
people.
Kevin Gates got a Jerry curl. I'm done. I don't know where that topic was supposed to go, but I...
It was a random topic. My other random topic was Mario Lopez in a Lifetime Movie Channel movie about KFC, the Colonel, and it's supposed to be a love story. Like, he's supposed to be the Colonel on the, from KFC, and it's a love story. Mario Lopez from Saved by the Bell and all them other Slater? Game shows. Yes, not Slater. Spanish dude.
That's Mario Lopez. AC Slater. Hold on. AC Slater is playing the Colonel
Saved by the Bell
in a love story about KFC
on Lifetime.
I'm fucked up. I don't know where to go with that. I 2020. Done. That combination don't. Nothing about that combination sound like
it. Don't make no damn sense.
The Lifetime and Mario Lopez. Yes. Kind of cheesy. Cool. KFC, the Colonel, go together. Created it. Got the earth and spices. Cool. But you put all of that together and then shove it into a love story. What?
He got tired of doing game shows. That's all.
But he fell in love with the lady who gave him the secret recipe.
Ratings are going to be high on it. Ratings are going to be high because people are going to turn in just to see what it's about.
It's like chicken. Sharknado.
It's like Miss Chicken.
It's like Sharknado. People watch that shit, ratings and it's the stupidest shit ever. But
you got
watch
a point
it.
There. You got me. I actually watched about 10 minutes of it.
People love a train wreck, yo. People love
to
a train wreck.
Ratings that night.
It's an actual video of train wrecks.
Dumbass people.
I'm done. And I hate the fact of Mario Lopez, Lifetime, and KFC combining in it. But guess what? Not only do I hate something, I'm sure Face got something that he hates this week.
Speaking of hate.
Oh, yeah. I got three things this week, too. Three things I hate. First thing, lazy kids, man. And I'm not talking about little kids. I'm talking about these kids like 18 through 25. That's kids to me because I'm damn near 40. So these lazy kids. Grown ass entitled kids. You think just because you think you grown, something's supposed to happen just because? No, you got to put in work. That's the thing people don't do these days. Put in work and earn what you got to get. due diligence. Due diligence gets you everything. Everything worth doing is going to be hard. Nothing easy in life is worth doing. Just like easy money. It's fast, it comes back, and it's gone. Easy, fast money. But the money you earn, the money you work for, that's the money that lasts. You feel me? That's the money you put away. That hard-earned money.
That's these right. You sounded real that. Old right now.
Yeah, I do.
Get off my damn life.
I don't. They don't.
Old man face. Old man face.
I ain't 40 yet. I ain't even 40 yet, but I'm close to it. But these
baby man face.
Lazy-ass kids just get to me, man. Second thing. Second thing that pisses me off. Dumb-ass parents. Dumb parents piss me off.
Yes, Lord.
I understand that, though.
Because the derivative of a lazy-ass kid is a dumb-ass parent. You got to understand. You feel me? Because you're not there doing your parenting thing and just trying to be your kid's friend. That's not going to lead to a good outcome. You got to set rules and guidelines. You don't set rules and guidelines for your friends. You set rules and guidelines for subordinates and kids. Set the rules and guidelines. Give your kids a good head start so they can have a good outcome. I'm tired of seeing these young, dumb-ass kids because they got young, dumb-ass parents.
No, that's serious as hell.
Ain't nothing wrong being a young parent. Circumstances, something happened, but just
I ain't
just
got no friends under 25. Parents.
No, I don't. No.
Not one.
No, not really. I know people, but that's just because of circumstances.
Right. Absolutely. Like, you are not a friend of your child. You are a child in Chanel's place until you become an adult. If you're mature enough to be doing adult things and you have your own place, your own transportation, and you working already, cool, then I can respect you as such if you moving like an adult. But if you're a kid and you still living with your mama and you still watch cartoons and having meals made for you and having clothes bought for you, if you don't shut the hell up and follow directions, ain't no conversations in this. It's directions. And then you follow them until you are smart enough to make better decisions for you. God bless you.
You can still watch cartoons when you're an adult, because I still do. But pay bills and shit. Be responsible and whatnot.
Yep.
Got to handle yourself as an adult in an adult situation. Yeah. The last thing that pissed me off, I'm going to take a little step to the right, is the lack of black business in black areas. Now, I was watching a documentary about, was it Killer Mike? By all doing everything all black, by all black businesses. I attempted to try to do it, and I couldn't find a black-owned restaurant in my area. I damn sure couldn't find a black-owned bank in my area. I don't know no black farmers in my area. So that would have been a horrific day. But try it. Try living black in your area and see how many black-owned businesses there are. I mean, you really got to go black. You can't go to Walmart and just because it's in a black area. No, it's not owned by black. You got to go black-owned grocers who get their groceries and get their produce from black farmers. How difficult is that? It shouldn't be that difficult, especially in black areas. But it is. Other cultures' businesses flourish in our areas too much. It's pissing me off because where's our revenue going? We invest all our revenue into other cultures and they profit in our community. But we always complain. Stop complaining and do something. You got the solution in your face, but you choose not to listen to it. You choose to continue to do the same thing because you're in that cycle. Yeah. But the people who step out of the cycles, they're looked down upon because you choose to step out of the cycle. And I'm not going to keep
it. I'm going to say, I see the two sides of it. Like, for one, black consumers, we got to be willing to go spend our dollars with black businesses and stop giving it this stigma of like something else is better. We got to stop that self-hate where we ride past one of our bookstores and go to Barnes & Noble, or we ride past the mom and pop restaurant, Ruth Chris or whatever, the restaurant chain. It's a lot of self-hate in us. We feel like something is inferior from our people. But then on the other hand, too, saw something recently that made me think about this perspective. Black businesses, we got to actually work hard to provide a good service. We can't be out here just because we're black, thinking that black people supposed to buy from us. I saw a video Kev on stage posted. Somebody went and bought wings from a black-owned business, got the wings home. The wings were no bigger than a bottle cap off a Sprite bottle. You can't be out here as a black business to come eat at my black restaurant, then you give me this shit, and the wings and the Chinese people up the street giving me half a cat leg on my rice. Like, you can't do me like
that. And the whole meal, $20, $30.
You heard me. Now, you done charged me $30 for these little baby wingettes. And now,
you gotta pay rent, baby.
I'm paying $6.50 for rice, six big fat wings look like they came off a super pigeon, and I get a drink and some fries with it. So you like, it's too far. Like, we got to stop that self-hate, but then black businesses can't keep coming up with these subpar-ass products and then expect it. Well, I'm black. You're supposed to be with your people. Yeah, but I also want this shit not to fall apart before I get to my house. So I'm going to go ahead to Walmart where at least I know what I'm doing. And that's the thing.
I don't
like,
care who you are. Shitty product is shitty product. Rubber culture is shitty as shit.
Exactly. Exactly.
Think that's not the product is shitty.
We got to do better as consumers, but as businesses too. And that's the thing.
Oh, yeah.
On a positive note, I do think that with the internet and everything, that could help bring in businesses online, can bring in income in areas that may not have a black business. Like in my area, it's basically half and half. It's half white, half black, in general. But most business owners, they may own like a restaurant or a bar or something like that, in general. But it's not like if I go to a bookstore, it's a white-owned bookstore, you know. But on a side note, I would say a lot of black businesses are profiting on it. On the internet, and it, as far as the black community on the internet, it does show strength there, and then that way we can bring that out into the community or whatever. Oh, also support black superheroes. If you support black superheroes, we'll have black superheroes. Not a fucking black Batman, not a fucking black Superman, but an actual own superhero, so we can be more prevalent in
black man.
That was a classic.
People forget about black man, yo. People forget that nigga about black superhero.
That nigga made a nunchuck out of a boot. Out of a fucking boot.
The grappling
hook
out the Mentos tag.
J5.
Listeners,
J5.
Go check that movie out, man. Go check that movie out. Black Man. B-L-A-N-K Man.
It's a classic. Black Man. Classic.
I wasn't talking to my Jimmy. He had the phone. He had a phone movie, on his belt and everything. And he was talking on the belt. I wasn't talking. And the girl called him and said, I wasn't talking to my Jimmy.
He had that long ass antenna. Well, speaking about movies, I was browsing through Netflix over the past couple of weeks, ran across the Kevin Hart special, No F's Given. So on the special, you know, he did it from his house or whatever. Got mixed reviews online, but one of the major stories, I guess, that came from his show was he had a joke on the show where he referred to his daughter liking more than one boy as whole behavior. He even went so far as to actually say the phrase. Yep, soon as I saw it, I thought, my daughter's a hoe. So people over the internet came at him pretty tough about the joke. And then on Clubhouse, like kind of right around the release of the show when everybody was talking about it, a room called Is Kevin Hart Funny popped up. So Kevin Hart went into the room. And when he got in there, he was like dialoguing with people about the joke. Kind of trying to explain himself, basically saying that he was basically more referring to daughter, saying that she had whole like behavior, but he wasn't actually trying to say that she is a hoe. What do you guys think? Do y'all think that the joke was too far? Do you think that the backlash was worth it? Do you think that he should have got that backlash? And if you've seen the special, what are your thoughts?
Man, I've seen the special, man. Personally, I don't think it's up to the Kevin Hart standard as far as stand-ups to me. So, I mean, it was lackluster. I mean, I appreciate the material. I appreciate the effort as far as him giving material during that time. Well, a lot of people couldn't do stand-ups and stuff like that. So, I'm glad he had a big enough house that he could do it in. Had a small crowd, good to go. So, some good stories. It wasn't to the same theatrics as he usually does on stage. I don't know. Could have been tired. Could have been whatever it is. I don't know who I'm going to judge. I'm not in his field. I don't have the courage to get on stage and do what he does because it is what it is. I'm not a comedian. But at the end of the day, it's a product. Like, we all buy a product. So even if it is on Netflix, I'm paying a Netflix subscription to get the material. So it's a product. We look for, we subscribe to his name. We see stand up. We expect to see a certain thing. So when we don't meet our expectations, we'll feel kind of let down. But at the end of the day, is he supposed to be held up to our expectations as viewers, or is he supposed to just give us the material he has? That's where the question really lies. As far as a joke, I mean, I personally feel like people are getting too sensitive these days anyway. It's a joke. It's a joke. You look at stuff. Richard Pryor used to say, look at stuff. Dick Gregory used to say, look at stuff Red Fox used to say. It's a joke. You feel me? Like, to each his own. If you want to be sensitive, take it sensitive. And his reference, like, it's to each his own as far as each man sees it as it is. You feel me? Like, one perspective is different from mine. So if he felt like he felt comfortable that his family had no problem with it, who might say something about that? It ain't my child. Now, if he was calling my daughter a hoe, now that'd be something different. If he calls somebody else's daughter a hoe, that'd be something different. But he's referencing his own child. He's just speaking his stories because that's, once again, as he said in his special, what else are you going to talk about but his wife and his kids? So that's his wife and his kids. Other people on stage have called their wives bitches and hoes and stuff like that. Had the people come down on them.
Worse.
No, because that's exactly. So much, much worse. Just domestic violence jokes. I mean, much, much worse. But people like to pick that thing out and pick on it because that's what the internet age does. It's a cancel culture. So this is another attempt to try to cancel Kevin Hart. But as he says, what's the name of the special? No fucks given. So he really didn't give a fuck about it anyway.
I feel like he should know fucks a little bit more just off of responding off of what people say just in general, because no matter what you do, no matter how great your performance, you know, people going to have something to say or whatever. I did see the the stand up and everything. Yeah, it wasn't like bawling out crying, but he did give me a few laughs and everything. So I didn't think it was as bad as people were saying it was. It was Kevin Hart. And I would say over the years, he may have, I feel like he calmed the edge down. He dulled the edge down some in general, but I feel like he did that on behalf of like just basically business in general. Now, as far as like the whole aesthetic of the whole show, that shit was beautiful. The way he came in with the kids, his house is beautiful. It looked totally clear or whatever. It didn't look like somebody just put something. It was an actual.
No, production. It was shot well. It was very, it was produced really good.
It was an actual production.
So many values.
Yep.
I guess for me, I feel like there's a way, like words mean something to me. You feel me? I feel like him saying to me, he could have made a funnier joke about the behavior being hoe-like. But when he said the phrase, my daughter's a hoe, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have cared. It wouldn't have even hit me in a weird way. But as the husband to a wife who's very much so, you know, all about like women's rights and making sure that they are black women protected. But then just as a man who's grown a little bit, that particular phrase could have been left out. And I feel like the rest of the joke. But when he said, oh, my God, my daughter's a hoe. You got to know in 2020, as a businessman, as a Kevin Hart, who is a CEO who's been through these type of things where his words are scrutinized, you got to know that as soon as you say that phrase, you're going to have a bunch of people come at you. Like, that's just the time we living in where it's cancel culture and going to be quick to jump on your ass. So, like, to me, I just think he could have been smarter about it. But overall, until I saw the backlash online, I didn't even really take it as a big deal. Like, it's a joke. I've heard worse from other comedians. I've heard worse from Kevin Hart. So it ain't that big deal to me. My bigger issue with him right now is I don't know if his stand-up is very funny anymore to me. Like, I watched it. I got the jokes. I got the humor. But for the first time doing a Kevin Hart special, I didn't laugh out loud. It was more like a nod, like, oh, yeah, I feel you. But it was like, he usually gives me like that gut laugh, like him, Chappelle, and Kat. I usually get that because they each appeal to the three different parts of my humor that I like, you know what I mean? But like, I didn't get that from him. Like, it was very vanilla and dry to me. It just didn't, I kept waiting for it to pick up and it just never did for me. So I guess I'm just trying to think like, is his run almost over? Is this the, like, you know how Chris Rock had his big run and now he's still stopped, but it's been a while since he had, you know what I mean? Is this Kevin Hart's phase to kind of phase out until he's like 60 and then pop back up on the scene, you know, funny as hell, like, I don't know.
he's still gonna be in movies and stuff.
Now movie wise, he's still hilarious to me. Like I like his movie. I don't.
So he'll be all right.
I feel about him as a stand up right now.
Yeah,
gonna make that transition.
But yeah, I feel like he probably get more into his movies. Probably make more movies, especially off of seeing the like how it was produced. That last stand up and everything, but yeah, he'll be all right. I feel like he just. I think he's going to go on his Eddie Murphy run where he do Dr. Doolittle's and the Clumps and stuff like that or whatever. But he might still do stand-up. So he do whatever he want in general. Next topic, bringing up, it seemed like, man, we can't do nothing we want. Nothing we want. This topic was brought up by my brother, right? We watch a Joe Budden podcast, and he has his own network or whatever. And he
Network.
He's building on his network. I'm about to explain. He's building on his network with he transformed it to Joe Budden, the Joe Budden Network, and he's bringing up this his first podcast under him, and it's a podcast dedicated to the ladies.
Is that the one with what's her name? Bridget Kelly and I think I seen like a little clip popping up. Okay, I know
what
you're talking about now.
All right. Yeah, yeah. So they're like I would say the woman answer to the Joe Budden podcast, pretty much. In general. So
might be interesting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yes. So the topic came up randomly. My brother brought this clip, and my brother is a gamer. So when he brought this clip, he was like, look at this bullshit, because he was pissed off. So I watched the video, and they were saying, like, basically, they don't like, two of them was like, they don't like men that game, pretty much, or whatever. They even went about far as saying they get mediocre dick and all this other bullshit, or whatever, pretty much. So I was like, I'm not even a gamer. You know, like, but I felt pissed off for my brother and my homeboys that game, because every person I know that's been gaming, their wife is happy. They're there at home, they're chilling. You know, like, you know, I really feel like it's on the woman itself. Like, if that woman is a woman that needs more attention, then maybe she don't want a gamer. You know, because most gamers. They introverted, they like to be in their own space, and that's it. And then when they want time to be around you, they'll be around you. Even though I'm not a gamer, I understand that, because if you take away gaming, I draw. So when I'm drawing, I don't want to be bothered. I'm into what I'm drawing. It's the same thing. It's the same skill, right? In general. And then I even posted something up on Facebook to see why women have a bad taste for gamers. So, and it all led up to the same thing as far as attention. It's like they had some women had bad experience where the man wasn't doing what he wanted. He was just coming home gaming, or he was just at home gaming pretty much, and felt like he wasn't doing what he was supposed to do as a man or whatever. But like on the introspect, I was like, if you take away gaming and you put something else in place of it, you would still have the same problem. Instead of him gaming, he might be out with the fellas all the damn time. You definitely don't like that, because at least when he's gaming, you can see what the fuck he's doing, you know, in general. So, just a rabbit, how y'all feel about that?
You want to take this one first, or you want me to go, Face?
You go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to start with the PC way, and then I'm going to end with a little bit more of my honest feelings. I understand those women's perspectives. Now, what I don't understand is the media dick part. That's on them. That's their, I don't know. My wife is satisfied, so I can't speak to what they go through in that area. I don't think there's a relation between that and none of that. It's just you ran across some bad dudes that weren't worth nothing. I also understand what women can be saying with the time. So I get it. I'm also going to even say that if a man is sitting around playing the game all day and go to work, he's not succeeding at his job, or even, you know, able to keep a job because of it, or, you know, that type of thing. I have nothing but agreement with the woman. However, what I have personally seen in situations of a male that plays the game, myself, play the game, whoever, usually it's therapeutic for the guy. Yep. That guy is less likely to blow up and be causing arguments in the house and like fussing and yelling at the wife, because usually he's getting his aggression out in that game. And he's usually, can't say all dudes perfect. You know, black men don't cheat, but I can't speak for every man. But usually there's less infidelity risk with that man because his time is not spent out in a place where he's going to be exposed to more temptation. He's in a place where the worst he can do is level up on the game or, you know what I'm saying, doze off. Like, it's no real danger for the infidelity to be there. So usually that's the situation. I'm also going to say, I feel like people who have issues with video games, they either don't play themselves, they're not good at games themselves, so they have a bias against it, or they're just salty because they're not getting the attention. And the issue with the attention piece that I've seen, if the man is working all the time, that same woman that's fussing about the game is also fussing about that. So it's more a needy thing on the woman's side where they are bored or unfulfilled in part of their life. So they're looking for the man to fill this entertainment space for them and be that thing. Because I've literally seen where a dude will chill with a woman all day long. They'll kick it. They go out to lunch. They'll have they go do an activity in the afternoon. Then it's 7 or 8 o'clock. They come home from their day. Dude get on the game with his homeboys. Now the girlfriend or the wife or whatever, she's mad at him. You not spend no time with me. We just spent 12 hours together consecutively. Mm-hmm. You mean tell me I can't get these 4 hours off on this Call of Duty or this 2K real quick? Like, that's a mental thing in the woman a lot of times where they're upset that something else is causing their man to have fun. It's not them.
Damn.
Hey, remember we did the joke, it was a few years back, but they were like, you know, women ain't mad that you having fun. They mad that you having fun and they're not causing it. If they played the game and they invite you over, they're excited. If you're doing something and you're enjoying yourself and they had it, they cause it, great. Anything, a lot, some women have an issue where anything that's not made or created or thought of or implemented by them in the relationship, if the man enjoys it, it's a problem. They will find a problem with it because to them, their insecurity means, well, he's enjoying this, so it must be something wrong with me. No. This ain't talking me to damn death. This is actually, I'm having fun doing it instead of me being bored watching this dumbass show that you wanted me to watch that you enjoy. Instead of, like, it's basically a thing of they want to force their fun on you. And when you find your own thing, that's when it becomes a problem. And that's with anything. It could be with you get a hobby where you get into woodworking, or you get a hobby where you get into, you know, fixing old cars or something. Guess what? Spend more than 30 minutes out there and come back in the house with a smile on your face, looking like it. Some women gonna start fussing regardless. Like, and I'm blessed enough to have a woman that's evolved to understand that, like, this is my therapy place. This is my quiet time where I don't have to be on socially. I don't have to be on mentally. I can just literally have mindless entertainment and kind of decompress from my day. But there's a lot of women out there. I done seen women get divorced over that. A lot of times, what I personally see, I mean, all situations, like, it's usually an issue with an insecure woman where when the man stops gaming and they do something different, everything that's not directly tied to that woman is a problem. I don't know. What say you, Face?
Nah, I'm a former gamer. Only reason I say former because I stopped is just because I have a family with a lot. I got 2 kids, so I don't have time. Well, I have 3 kids altogether, so I don't have time. So, it is what it is. My wife had no problems with me gaming when I was playing the game before we got married. She's offered to buy whatever system came out. I was in. Got no time to do it between being at home with the kids and doing what the kids need. Just being a husband and a father. I'm like, I don't have no extra time. But as far as the rest of the world, in 2020, gaming is a fresh profession now.
Yeah.
Gaming is a sport now. Mm-hmm. If I'm like, gaming brings in a lot of money. We ain't talking people about the early 90s or the early 2000s when gaming was just a hobby. And you only game all day. Yeah, I'm on the game, but if you're that good, then that can be your job. I can understand if I'm just doing it and I ain't doing nothing else. This is just it. you got a right to be mad at them because it's no other, it's nothing else supporting that just to be a release for nothing. You have nothing to release because you just on the game all day. But if you're doing it, you're that good, then you can make this some money from this. Go forth and do what you do. You feel me? Like, I don't see no woman that will have a problem with that. You get your income.
You know, I tell them women on that podcast, go get your man a Twitch account, sign him up, and let him start getting some dollars. Because I see some of these YouTube and Twitch streamers and caffeine streamers that play them games, and they not even professional, but they do be making bank.
Yep.
So you know that's like the gamer only fans right there. It's a lot of money, like.
And they can put that into the whole. A PS5 costs a lot of money and all that other stuff, along with everything else that's probably in the house that you want to buy. And them bags, every year is a new bag. Burger. That Birkin is like 12,000 to 1,200. I mean, 200,000. Like
that's three Xbox Series X.
That's a car. That's a couple of cars. Ooh. That's a house.
Three car notes.
That's a house. That's one house.
Four or five car notes if you got good credit.
And the PS5 has way more storage than the Birkin bag. Way more. You can store all kinds of shit. And look at Netflix.
Ain't no cloud storage in that Birkin.
Nah. But random topic for me. Random topic on this end. I was listening to The Breakfast Club today. I have no problem mentioning them on our platform. I was
Shout out, C to God.
It was going over their 10-year anniversary, some of their top moments, and they had some callers to call in. And one guy called in, he was like, yo, Sean, I used to hate you, yo. He was like, but over time, I was like, I can't stop watching this man. What is it about him that I can't stop watching? He had a self-reflection.
He can't stop watching that man? That's listen a weird caller
it.
Already.
Listen to it, though. He's like, I can't stop watching you. So he was like, I had to take a step back. Like, what is it about him that's drawing my attention to it? But I hate him and I hate everything about him. He was like, self-reflection moment. I hated the things that you did because I did the same things and I did it. And I hated some parts about myself. So that's why I couldn't stop watching you, because I was watching myself in you. That brought me to, you feel me, like self-reflection. That's my random thing this week. A lot of people go around like, I hate this, I hate this, I can't stand when this person do this. But you always talk to that same person. Was it about you? What is it about that person that keeps them in your life if you can't stand that person? Mm-hmm. Is it something in you that you do too? It takes a deep look in yourself to see that, yeah, I hate some parts of myself that I need to change, but I can't admit it. You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
I think everyone does. Everyone has that little part of themselves they hate, you feel me? But we all just can't admit it. But only with growth, like true growth, mental, spiritual, physical growth, that you can reach that point. That's that liberation point. You feel like when you can liberate your mind, your body, and soul to reach that upper level, like, it don't matter. I can do this, and I'm free enough to be honest and open with myself and others. You gotta be. And everybody say they can keep it 100, but how many people really keep it totally 100? You feel me?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think many do.
I think that's huge that you said it too, because I think that, like, I look at myself like I've been an adult for years as far as, like, societal maturity. But as far as, like, really knowing myself and like being, well, not knowing myself, but being honest, like you said, that complete honesty, brutal honesty with myself. I'm just reaching that like within the past year or two. But I noticed that since that's happened, like I can feel the change in me and I can see like areas of my life improving so fast. And it was like areas that I was like hitting my head against the wall. Like, why the hell is this not changed? Like, what? I'm working my ass off. And then once I started like really like taking a step back and saying, you know what, it's a whole lot of shit going on that you can't control in that situation, but you got some things you can still work on. And the more I've done that, I definitely see the. I wonder what makes it so hard for us to do that as people. It's like the one person you're with all the time, yet you're the least honest with yourself. Crazy.
I don't know what's wrong with y'all humans. Y'all can never look at yourself. I look at myself and say, what the fuck is wrong with me? Every fucking day. What the fuck is wrong with y'all? If I can do it, y'all can do it. Believe in yourself. I do that every day. What the fuck is wrong with you? You have issues.
Speaking of self-reflection, somebody who needs a whole hell of a lot of it brings me to today's Umar update. So, as y'all might have learned on the last pod, I am a huge fan of talking about and researching and just getting into all of the fuckery that Umar Johnson, along with his weekly debacles. So, since the last time I talked to y'all about Umar, several developments have been added to the list. So first, on November 18th and 19th, Umar Johnson came to Atlanta to speak and sell his book at the Comedic Skills Yoga Studio. While he was in Atlanta, some vandals broke the studio's windows. So Umar took the social media to go live and start begging again, saying that the windows were broken by haters who wanted to sabotage him and his movement, and they had tried to get him in New York. Nothing happened in New York. He just got people that decided they didn't want him to come speak at their establishment. And they had tried to get him in Chicago. Nothing happened there. It's just he said he was going to be at a barbershop, and the barbershop didn't know what the hell he was talking about. So now they finally got him, and they broke the windows at the studio the day before he was going to speak. Umar began to beg and say that he needed people to donate because the windows would cost thousands of dollars to be fixed. And since it was done on his behalf, he should pay. So whatever we donate would go to offset the cost that he had to pay Comedic Skills for to pay for their window.
Donations.
So he had all of this up. A week later, YouTuber Nappy Yankee debunked this by going to Atlanta to said street, Abernathy, where the Comedic Skills Yoga Studio is. Now, when he went there, it was during a time where the Comedic Skills Studio was not open. However, the restaurant, two doors down, you can see it right beside each other in Google Maps, the restaurant was open. So Nappy Yankee decided to go in and just talk to these people in the restaurant about, did they know anything about what happened with the vandalism at the Yoga Skills Studio? And did, you know, is this something that's normal? The lady in the restaurant said that over the past 6 months, almost every business on that street had had its windows broken because vandals in that area, that's just kind of something that they do. They don't know why they're doing it, but it happened well before Umar ever got to Atlanta. Now, Umar still begged for this money, yet 1 week later, no windows were seen to be fixed, and Umar was no longer talking about said window. Then Umar took to social media to claim that someone had sent him an email that the haters had ramped up. They were done breaking windows. They were going to come straight to the school on December 2nd and 4th. So he needed everybody, all of his supporters, to come out and stand with him at FDMG Academy to stand against the protesters. And they were going to have a peaceful anti-protest block party. This block party would prove to end up being on December 2nd, a group of about a dozen or more Black people, many of them older women, standing out in the cold all day to wave an RBG flag while no one protested anything. On the video of this day, Umar is seen talking to people claiming that they're HVACers, yet you can hear the people he's talking about, oh, y'all about HVACers? You can hear the people saying, no, sir. He was seen looking very weird and interviewing these people who were there to help him and support him, yet one lady was asleep because it had gotten so cold that she held onto the school railing. And a couple of guys who were, I don't know, looked like they had maybe just woken up and came from the street corner, claimed that they were there for not only the right reasons, but also the goofy shit if anybody showed up. Yet and still, this is half of the day and not one person that came to protest. So while there, of course, the next thing Umar did was got up on the RBG rock with his RBG flag and made a speech. Speech is about 4 minutes. You can catch it on YouTube right now. But the highlight of the speech is, as always, he ended it with his patented $ FDMG Academy donations. Make sure you donate. We need you to donate. Haters didn't come today, but they will. You know. So this is on December 2nd. On December 4th, on this December 2nd video, he was seen ending the live stream from his thing, but he forgot the live stream was on. So as he's locking up the school building, him and the thuggish man who was there for the goofy shit, they're talking. And as they're talking, you can hear Umar saying, yeah, you know, the other room over there, you know, all the fire got put out over there. Then the other dude is like, and then Umar's like, yeah, make sure you get all the matches and the lighters out of there. Further adding to the skepticism and the thought that Umar may be living in the school and maybe have now turned it into the kick it spot where they are smoking whatever on the premises, probably doing that blowing libations again to the Orishas. And now on December 4th, we go back to the school. Cause remember, it's supposed to be either December 2nd or December 4th. These protesters are supposed to come and protest. Nobody comes again. So Umar cancels the protest, the anti-protest, and gets his supporters who have shown back up in the freezing cold in Delaware. Now he turns it into the first annual FDMG gym cleanup day. So now he got these old women and these people out here cleaning up this dirty gym in this dilapidated school. Next, right after these videos drop, an ex-worker claiming, an alleged ex-worker of Umar Johnson's, claimed that Umar owes him a substantial amount of money for his work done at the school, including tasks such as bringing Umar Johnson's clothing into the school. This further looks like Umar may allegedly be now living at the school after videos from earlier this year already showed Umar chewing the school and blankets and other personal items were seen on the couch in one of them. So to recap, this week's Umar update, after saying he would not be showing the school anymore on social media, due to haters, he's back posting ridiculous videos where the end goal always seems to be donations. He may be now living in the school and smoking some substances in the school, and he is finding new and creative ways to exploit his people and get them to do his dirty work at the school. The people seem like they're genuinely good people, but this behavior is starting to look like a cult or something. I'll be still watching all week on YouTube. Please, if you want more information on Umar, follow Lyndon Arnold, King Kong Crazy, or Nappy Yankee. They have hilarious stuff on him every day. If you want a good lunchtime laugh, check out those videos. And this has been Tiz's Umar update of the week. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Have y'all seen this stuff with Umar?
Yes. I ain't seen all of it, but I seen some of it.
I ain't even put it in the updates, but the new thing is, now they're saying his book is pretty much for show plagiarized, but he done copied and pasted somebody else stuff.
It gets... I think they need to donate to the partner's closet and get some hoodies, because it's cold outside, and I know it's cold. I know they're cold. In that dang cold ass gym, trying to clean that shit up, man. It's COVID out here.
Oh yeah,
we got masks too, so they can get the masks.
They got face masks. They got hoodies. They got long sleeve shirts. They got the sweatshirts for the kids now. They got the zip up hoodies now. They got the what else? They got the, I think they got the phone cases for the iPad phones, or the Apple phones and the Samsung phones now. They're about to have skull caps and pillows. So the inventory steadily is growing on Partner's Closet, man. And if you want to reach Partner's Closet, you got to go to teespring.com/stores/partners-closet-1. That's partners-closet-1. Yes, go get your stuff. And right now we have a promo code going on for 15% off.
Yes, yes.
Pod Squad 83. That's our new promo code right now going on. For a limited time only, for 15% off any apparel, go ahead and get your fresh Podless apparel right now.
Please go ahead and cop. Go ahead and cop. Thank you for that merch and branding update, Face. Pat, what you got coming this week on social media, digital content?
Shoot, it's at the Podness, TheePodNAS. I got high, so I'm fucking up in the spelling and shit. And that's for the Twitter. And that's for the Instagram. If you do hashtag the Podness, TheePodNAS, for those who think I can't spell, and put it in Facebook, you'll go right to the Facebook. It'll be Tiz, Face, Pat are the Podness. That's the quickest way to get to.
Right on, right on. And on the YouTube podcast content, what we got coming up in the very near future, obviously, Episode 4, which we're taping right now and you're listening to right now, is already out because it's Wednesday at midnight. This week, we got some bonus footage coming for just the regular YouTube subscribers. You'll get to see some of the visuals from our podcast and get to see some of the behind-the-scenes clips. Patreon, as always, you'll be getting the full unedited video, as always. Tiz Takes Number 2, the Battle Rap blog, that is coming out Saturday, as always. It'll be about 40 minutes long. I got some good heat that I'm gonna be dropping with that, and other quick blogs will be dropping throughout the week. We have a possible guest we may be getting on the Podness podcast I got a brother who works in the holistic health field as far as like natural remedies and herbs. He also makes music, so he's interested in coming on and just sharing his wisdom with the people. So we have a possible guest coming up early in 2021. We also have some cross content coming with the Herb Certainty podcast in 2021. So that's coming early January. Patreon, continue to subscribe. We're going to be dropping some good bonus content over the Christmas break. And as always, on YouTube and on all of our streaming platforms, constant content coming out throughout the holiday season to keep y'all entertained. But that's what I got. Y'all got anything else y'all want to say to the people before we roll up out of here?
Most definitely I do.
Speak on
go
it.
Go ahead, Pat.
Oh, no, go ahead and say it, Face. You got something to say.
Oh, definitely. I definitely do. In addition to Pot in His Closet, we also have another store you can go and get some fresh apparel from, too. That is also on teespring.com. That is teespring.com/stores/space-co-2. Pat has on some fresh Face and Co. apparel right there. See the stars all day, every day. Y'all can get that. Still on the site. Will not be taken down. We just put up some new stuff. We're coming out with face masks on Face and Co. coming soon. Also coming with accessory bags and tote bags.
Big facts. Once again, and if you like the shirt I had
teespring.com/stores.
Go ahead. My bad.
Oh, yeah. teespring.com/stores/space-co-2. Tiz, let them know where you get your stuff from.
Yeah, man. If y'all saw the shirt I had on last episode, or any other the commercial content or any of our trailers that we drop, that shirt was straight from Face and Co. And like I said the first time, man, like, it's high quality gear. He got like a million designs up there. So no matter what type of person you are, whether you like the more clean look, whether you like the more flashy, just like the subtle looks, the sporty looks, he got you covered. And it's high quality materials. The shirts, you can wash them. They don't shrink. They don't lose print. Like, it's, my shirt looks like I pulled it out of the pack, and I have washed my shirt literally every week since I got it. So it's high quality material. Go to Face and Co. Go to the Potter's Closet. You're getting very good merchandise. And hey, man, Face, we're going to have to get a promo code for Face and Co. next time, too, man, to get to the people, man.
Yeah, we definitely were.
Big facts.
Tiz, you were right, because I just watched this jump. You know, I had to get the stars, y'all, that fits with my spacey self, because, you know, God like is coming. The book is coming. All right, that's all my ranting.
So as always, man, thank y'all for joining our weekly conversation. Feel free to like, comment, subscribe on YouTube. Feel free to comment on iTunes, Spotify, whatever streaming platform you are listening to us on. Comment.
All that shit.
Continue to join the conversation. Give us your thoughts on our topics. And always give us feedback on how we can improve the experience for you guys at home. As always, I am Tiz, one third of the partners with my brothers.
Padawan.
Face.
And as the partners, we out.
We out.